Hello and welcome to Texas Scribes. This program features the prose and poetry of writers from Northeast Texas and around the Lone Star State. I'm your host, Mark Haslett. Today we'll be hearing an excerpt from Go Down Looking, a novel by Jim Ainsworth of Commerce, Texas. It's the story of Jake Rivers, a young man whose search for self leads him across rural Texas. Go Down Looking by Jim Ainsworth, read by the author.
As he left Amarillo and traveled down U.S. 287, Jake could not keep away memories of that time a lifetime ago when he had made the reverse journey. He had needed a pillow to see over the steering wheel back then and had been pulling a horse and trailer just like grown men. Now he was driving alone, his horse left behind, buried in a panhandle grave. Jake could almost hear the lonesome and persistent wind blowing over Scar's remains. He was hurt and angry then, too, but there had been a little sense of adventure to ease the anguish. New country to see. Not this time. Nothing but resentment traveled this trip, and shame. As the Army Green pickup ticked off the whining miles, he felt his life unwinding, erasing like a reel-to-reel tape recorder in squeaky reverse. Had it been only 3 years? Rance and Maddie, his parents, had yanked him out of the only school he had ever known in his freshman year and dragged him to a godforsaken place devoid of trees where the constant wind nicked you with the little stings of sand. Jake had not wanted to go, but had made the Texas Panhandle his home. Not Brother Grayboy's home, not his mother's nor his father's, but his. He had hated it at first, feared it, but had captured it, held it close to his heart. As he thought of friends, sweethearts, teachers, cowboys, and teammates who had made his panhandle life rich, he imagined them tossed out the window one at a time as he drove, the wind catching them and jerking them back west, their hands reaching out to him, out of sight forever, as he headed east. He was going back to Delta County, the place where he was born and had spent the first 14 years of his life, but Northeast Texas was now their home. Rance and Maddie's, not his. And Jake was resentful enough to cry, angry enough to strike out at those who loved him. He had cried on the way west, but he was almost 17 now, too old for tears. The sense of shame was almost stronger than his anger and resentment. After all, he was going back of his own free will, not because they had made him. He had given up. Maddie and Rance had agreed to his terms, allowed him to stay behind in the old farmhouse when they left. He had only to check in at least once every day with Bob Lee, Uncle J.D., or Aunt Bess. Bob Lee's shop was in Jake's front yard, so checking in was easy, almost unavoidable. Jake was surprised when his cousin, who took few things seriously, considered his stewardship a great responsibility. But Jake knew that Bob Lee didn't care what he did as long as he stayed alive and healthy. The situation was ripe for wayward pleasures. He had imagined his friends, even girls, coming out for all-night parties. He would earn his spending money doing day work as a cowboy, something he had always dreamed of. He would skip school only when necessary, party at night with friends, stay out as long as he wanted, live the free life, even eat big steaks in Amarillo with Bob Lee. But Jake had not lasted. It was the blue Sundays that got him, the loneliness. The new had worn off after only a few of solitary days of rest, sitting under the windmill by the stock tank, watching goldfish swim, listening to the wind turn the old blades, wondering what his family and other families were doing. Sundays became agony for him. He began talking to himself too much and grew tired of cleaning the house, tired of fried bologna sandwiches eaten standing up or off a lap tray. The rollaway bed and threadbare couch, his only furniture, mocked him. He had read everything there was to read in the house, and there was no television. He knew now why Rance had overruled Maddie and let him stay. Rance knew that Jake would make up his own mind to follow them east, and so he had. He forsook friends, sweethearts, and mentors, not even finishing the school year at Adrian, the tiny school he had come to love. When Jake visited those friends to say goodbye, he could not summon the courage to tell them he was giving up, going home to Mama. He had intended to leave at midnight, but elected to soak up a few more memories with one more night in the old house. Maybe build up enough courage to stay. But he left at first light and pushed the GMC hard enough to cover 500 miles in just over 9 hours. Plenty of time to look things over in case he decided to change his mind and go back. He slowed as he drove through the square in downtown Commerce in early afternoon. The brass sign with coming attractions told him that the Palace Theater, scene of many joyful Saturday afternoons, watching Joel McRae and Gary Cooper, was still open. But the old Lyric Theater, known to most kids as the Bloody Bucket and home of Roy Rogers, Gene Autry, and Rex Allen, was closed. But he had been a small boy then. When he passed County Line Road and entered Delta County, he felt 10 again. He had made an unspoken pledge not to return to their old farm, but an unseen force took hold, delivering him to the place where he had grown up, where it all happened. He had not noticed the storm clouds gathering until he stopped in front of a locked barbed wire gate. The gate blocked entrance to the gravel road that held many thousands of his youthful steps. The gravel was grown over now, covered with a little Bermuda and a lot of Johnson grass. The trees hung over the road more as if drooping with abandonment shame. They created the appearance of a long tunnel that led to the front porch of the old house, a time tunnel that Jake was not ready to go back through. Had those cedars been there before? They blocked the view of Papa Griff's old shack. He killed the engine and kept his elbow hanging out the window. Thunder rolled, engulfing Jake with a flood of memories. The air was moist and brought familiar, unwanted smells from his childhood. As the early afternoon sky grew dark, as night and the first raindrops pelted the dusty hood, his thoughts turned dark as the sky. Wind whistled through the passenger window, bringing a frail woman in a black gown, head covered with a black scarf, through the half-open window. The black dress set down beside Jake, replacing his anger with despondency. The old woman had begun visiting Jake's dream when Tuck was dying, but had been left behind when he moved to the panhandle. Had she taken over their abandoned house? Without seeing her face, Jake heard her warning that his roots were there, and roots ran deep. They could not be forsaken as easily as his friends in the panhandle. He wished her away. He tried to concentrate on the good times, but the bad memories bullied them aside. A baseball, two biscuits in a malted milk jar, a Prince Albert can full of rattlesnake buttons, and an envelope from Cardwell's grocery lay in the seat beside his hat, boot, and spurs. The baseball brought back bittersweet memories of Jake's only home run in Little League baseball and the night that Spooner Hayes had died. Only hours after Jake's triumphant home run, the baseball led to Brother Grayboy being accused of Spooner's murder. He was found innocent, but the experience had changed the river's perception of the community where they had deep roots. Jake believed that his brother had joined the Marines to escape bitter memories and resentment. The biscuits and rattlers reminded him of his grandfather. He regretted not stopping to see Papa Griff when he came through Commerce to give him the rattlers for his fiddle, but he could not bear the thought of seeing the old cowboy cooped up in his house like a caged rooster. The biscuits had been warm and buttered when Papa Griff handed them to Jake on the cold morning he headed west. Now, they were as stale and cold as Jake's heart.
You've been listening to Jim Ainsworth of Commerce, Texas, reading an excerpt from his 2012 novel, Go Down Looking. This program is Texas Scribes, a weekly show featuring the prose and poetry of writers from Northeast Texas and around the Lone Star State. You can hear previous episodes of Texas Scribes online at ketr.org.